This is our number.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Woo, I am getting an eyeful. Usually it's an earful, but since it's all text messages, I'm getting an eyeful from you on the per mile toll every road. One insurance professional texted me and said, I drive between 25,000 and 28,000 miles per year. This tax will put me out of business. And then I'm hearing from some other professionals, a contractor, who says this tax will cost him between $800 and $900 more per year. And yes, they are definitely going after the working class, people who, you know, don't have the luxury of working from home, the people who actually have to go out and do manual labor, do some trades. They're the ones. You don't see a lot of people in the service industry. They often have to take their cars to the motels and hotels they clean, although the motels and hotels have been empty forever, except for the homeless people we're putting in them. But at restaurants as well. It's going to target all of these people. So, yes, keep it high on your radar screen and let your legislator know about it. Okay, let's get into the fastest 15. I'm still wanting to get snow reports. Light snow in Linwood, says one listener. Another person, the same thing. Light snow falling in Mukilteo. So I'm getting, light flurries in Shoreline. Oh, I see just the barest, lightest sprinkling of snowflakes where I am right now, just north of the city. So yeah, snow's hitting us. How about down in the South Sound? Keep me posted because that's where it's supposed to come in a little heavier. So you can keep texting me at 98973. It's 98973. When I was talking about the working class and the tradespeople from the 206, it's called blue-collar work, Dory. Yeah, that's who we need to protect. And that's who Jay Inslee and the Democrats in the legislature are going after the hardest. They are raising taxes that will affect the blue-collar workers the most. And I don't see anybody fighting for the blue-collar workers. I am. But they don't have lobbyists. Some of them do. Some builders have lobbyists. Some other tradespeople do. But I'm going to fight. As I said, this per-mile thing, unless my lifestyle reverts back to where it was 2 years ago, and I'm not sure it will, I'm not going to be a big mileage driver from now on. But I'll still fight for everybody else who's getting blasted by this. I'm told it's coming down heavy in Lacey. Flurries in East Woodinville. Eatonville's getting about an inch. Okay, I appreciate it. All around the region, keep me posted. 98973. That's 98973. And then you know what we're going to do at the bottom of the hour? We need to do something kind of fun and light while we have the little snowflakes tumbling from the sky. So I talked to you last night, Nicole. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has announced this year's nominees. It seems like they either release the nominees or the inductees every 2 months or so. They know how to spread things out and keep them in the news.
They really do. I think that they narrow it down, and I think that's why it happens, because they'll name the finalists, and then we cover the finalists, and then they'll name the winners, and then they'll name, you know. So if every 4 months we're talking about it, that sounds about right.
Yeah. So anyway, they've announced this year's Rock Hall nominees, and I'm always interested in that. It's kind of fun, so we'll do that at 1:30. Who deserves it? Who does not?
I think it's very obvious this year, but we'll decide that later in the half hour.
Yeah, yes, we will. Okay, let's talk about what else is going on. Joe Biden, he back in 2019, when Donald Trump said that China was going to eat our lunch under the Obama-Biden administration and their policies. Man, Joe Biden did not like that. Again, this was 2 years ago.
I don't know a single solitary one who would not change places with the problems the President of the United States has versus the problems they have. China is going to eat our lunch? Come on, man. They can't even figure out how to deal with the fact that they have this great division between the China Sea and the mountains in the east, I mean, in the west.
That was 2 years ago. But I love that line. China is going to eat our lunch? Come on, man. So what did Joe Biden say about this yesterday as president?
Last night, I was on the phone for 2 straight hours with Xi Jinping. And you all know as well as I do, these folks, and it was a good conversation. I know him well. We spent a lot of time together over the years I was vice president. And they're going to, if we don't get moving, they're going to eat our lunch.
What? 2 years ago, you said, come on, man, when Donald Trump said they're going to eat our lunch. And then yesterday, today, because the conversation was last night, then today you say they're going to eat our lunch. Which is it? Is that a come on, man? Or is that, was Donald Trump right when he said that? I mean, come on, Joe. Because this is what Trump told Biden during a debate last year.
And so you take a look at what he's actually done. He's done very little. His trade deals are the same way. He talks about these great trade deals. You know, he talks about the art of the deal. China's perfected the art of the steal. We have a higher deficit with China now than we did before. We have the highest trade deficit
China
with Mexico.
China ate your lunch. All right, 100%. China ate your lunch, Joe, and no wonder.
And now Joe admits it. That China has eaten our lunch again. He said it this morning. So he's all over the place. And I tell you what, Joe Biden, if he's having the conversations and if he is actually running any significant part of our country and our foreign policy, that's scary. That is really scary because he doesn't remember what he said. He doesn't remember that he laughed at Donald Trump for saying China was going to eat our lunch right before he says they're eating our lunch. It's making me hungry, though. All this talk about eating lunch, it's making me really hungry. Okay, next stop. So I heard that you've been getting some positive feedback, Nicole, because we have committed to staying with the Gorilla Glue story right through the bitter end. Is that right?
Yes, Jacob, producer of the Tom and Curly Show, said he really appreciates the commitment you've made.
Okay. So, yeah, we played the audio. If you aren't familiar with this, a couple days ago, we played the audio of Tessica Brown. She ran out of hairspray, so she sprayed an aerosol, very powerful adhesive called Gorilla Glue onto her hair, and it was just plastered down and stuck to her scalp, and she couldn't move one hair.
Hey, y'all. For those of y'all that know me, my hair has been like this for about a month now. It's not by choice. No, it's not by choice. When I do my hair, I like to, you know, finish it off with a little Got to Be Glue spray. You know, just to keep it in place. Well, I didn't have any more Got to Be Glue spray, so I used this.
So she used the Gorilla Glue, and her hair was just plastered onto her scalp. Yesterday, we gave you the update that a friend of hers was able to cut off her ponytail, leaving her with a rock-hard knob of Gorilla Glue plastered hair that did lead out to her ponytail. Well, I'm happy to report that we finally, our long national nightmare is finally coming to an end. 40-year-old Tessica Brown, she finally has had her hair removed by a Beverly Hills plastic surgeon. It was a four-hour-long procedure costing $12,500 normally, but this plastic surgeon removed all of Tessica's hair for free. So, Dr. Michael Obeng, I'm sure he wants to get some plugs. He used a custom mix of medical grade adhesive remover, aloe vera, olive oil, and acetone in order to dissolve the Gorilla Glue. Tesca Brown teared up after the procedure was done, and it's all over now.
I wonder if she regrets cutting off her ponytail 2 days ago, because she should have just left the ponytail. Maybe she would have been able to keep it. Now she has very short hair, and she used to have very long hair, usually in braids, and very, very pretty hair. And I wonder if she regrets jumping to the cut off the ponytail.
Look, she was desperate, and desperate times call for desperate measures. She was willing to do anything. They thought that maybe if they cut off the ponytail, it would give part of her scalp a chance to breathe. I wonder how much permanent damage that's done to her scalp. Having Gorilla Glue on there for a month, stuck to your... Oh, that's a... Can you imagine? I bet that ate up her skin. Anytime she brushes her hair, it's going to hurt.
What a great commercial for Gorilla Glue, though. Like...
It is, yes.
I'm going to buy that the next time I need to glue something forever.
Yeah, it is. It is the permanent solution. Yeah, Gorilla Glue.
Did you see their, I like their statement, which said, you know, well, we tell people to only use it on, you know, whatever. And then it said, we wish her all the best.
Yeah, they warned everybody, don't do this. And then she went and did it. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15. I'm going to miss that daily update. The Washington Post is going after the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Apparently, the Buccaneers logo, which shows a pirate with a sword in his mouth, like, you know, pirates like to do, apparently that is racist, according to the Washington Post. It romanticizes ruthless cutthroats, and the Washington Post is calling on Tampa to change its logo from their world champion team. You know what this reminds me of? This is like the controversy of the Pirates of the Caribbean at Disneyland, which they had to change because those pirates were described as being too ruthless, and there were scenes where they would, you know, chase the gals around in a circle.
I think that was more about the wenches.
Well, yeah, but what do you think this pirate's going to do with the sword in his teeth? And plus, he's got one of those kind of creepy, curly mustaches, the Tampa Bay Bucks mascot logo. He's after the ladies.
Well, you know, the impact of their stereotype, I guess, might have already made its way on into Tom Brady's life, because, I mean, you typically think of pirates as maybe drinking too much and that type of thing. And then last night, did you see him being hauled off, kind of very, like stumbling and having to be held up?
Well, it looked like he had some good friends. He had some good friends with him. Because, yeah, they did the parade, and Tom Brady got hammered during the Super Bowl parade.
Did you see the tweet?
I did not,
His tweet is misspelled with random capital letters and stuff, and it says, I think it's supposed to say, it's of that video of him stumbling, and it says, noting to see here just little avocado tequila.
Yeah, well, I mean, he doesn't put anything bad in his body. He doesn't,
right?
He doesn't eat sugar. He doesn't eat white flour.
And so when you go from that to drinking, it's just like when I'm on a diet or something, or if I'm, you know, not eating carbs or something, and then you drink, it hits you extra hard.
One of my daughters, she did a no drink January, and then she said she just had a glass or two of wine the first day after that, after a dry January. And she said she felt it a lot more than she ordinarily would. And so, yeah, Tom Brady, he can't have, but they were actually passing the Super Bowl trophy from one float to another. He was throwing it to Gronkowski. But getting back to your point at the beginning, Tom Brady had some good friends around him, because as he was getting off the float, he was going to fall down drunk. And he had a couple of friends, their arms around his waist and around his shoulders, and they were like holding him up and walking him to to whatever vehicle was going to take him away from the end of the parade route. But that was weird to see when it was somebody who never puts anything that is poisonous, and he thinks sugar and white flour are poison. So if he was drinking like that, that's very surprising. So,
he's also very careful about his reputation, and it's interesting that tweet is still up. And I mean, I think he obviously did it on purpose, but it that video and the tweet, and I mean, it's interesting. He usually doesn't allow that kind of publicity.
Yeah, he's been very careful about his image for decades now, but he let his hair down yesterday, and
then Pirates talk to him.
could be, or maybe it was this. He's also getting criticized by Democrats, Tom Brady is, who are saying that winning all those Super Bowls, which always occurs in February, him winning all those Super Bowls during Black History Month is racist, apparently. That is some people on Twitter saying that, and here's the headline that Google posted: Tom Brady accused of racism for winning Super Bowl during Black History Month. And another person on Twitter said, Tom Brady represents everything the system despises. I don't know what he's supposed to do if Super Bowl is played during Black History Month. But Brady's being criticized for that, for the Buccaneers logo. And I wish them all the best. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Okay, we've got the latest list of Rock Hall nominees. I don't care what the voters in Cleveland say. I don't care what anybody says. The final judge of who should get in should be our radio show. And I'll need your help as well. So lay it all out for you next here on the Dory Monson Show. One of 16 musical artists that's been nominated for this year's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And it's always fun to try to predict who's going to get in, who will not. And one of the people that I like turning to is just a good friend of mine who was also a music DJ back during a lot of these artists' heyday. Russ Simber joins us from Parts Unknown down in California. Hello, sir.
Hey, buddy boy. How you doing?
I'm doing really good. Should Devo get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Should they make the list? That's my question. Even nominated would be my question. And I'm going to do I'm going to say everything's going to boil down to the Cool and the Gang metric. And
meaning?
Cool and the Gang's they've been snubbed since 95. So I compare every group to them. And I got to say, Devo does not meet the criteria to be on this list or to be in the Hall of Fame.
Okay. All right. Nicole, would you put Devo in?
Their hats look like they were made out of Legos.
Yeah, that's true. Would you put Devo in, Nicole?
I just don't know him well enough. Out of this particular list, no, I wouldn't.
It's a big no. That was when I was in college. They really only had one album that made, and I know they had other albums. But everybody always gets upset. Okay, following your Cool and the Gang metric, how about this one?
I'm every woman, it's all in me.
Chaka Khan is nominated for the Rock Hall. Russ, should Chaka Khan get in?
No, but she should be on the list. Yeah.
She belongs as a nominee. She's been nominated six times. I did not know.
Yeah.
That. Okay. I don't know that I could name any of her songs besides this one.
why she shouldn't get
That's
in.
That's the problem.
I mean, I have two words, actually. Jungle Boogie. Yeah.
That was Chaka Khan?
No, that was Kool and the Gang. I told you, I'm everything's going through the trick of Kool and the Gang. As far as-
okay, I got you. I got how about this nominee this year? My wife tells me that Carole King's Tapestry album was absolutely life-changing when she was a 10-year-old girl. Does Carole King belong in the Rock Hall?
Yes. Yes. Top of the list. Top of the list.
Number one?
Yep. She's already in for songwriting with her husband.
Okay.
Goffin. But she should get in on Tapestry alone.
Okay. I agree. I think she belongs in. Now, was her music important to you, Nicole? Because everybody my age, every woman my age, this was, like I said, this was the album of the soundtrack of their life.
No, I know her mostly from soundtracks to movies kind of thing.
Oh, my
so,
goodness.
I mean, I will say that I know this song well. I know some other songs, but no, not really. But I do understand why she should be in.
Okay.
Nicole.
I'm gonna not play all these, even though I have clips of all of them. Can we agree that Iron Maiden does not belong in?
Sure.
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay, no Iron Maiden. Here's a tough one. Jay-Z. It was tough finding a Jay-Z clip because all his songs are so dirty. But we found a couple of
came in the school, graduated to the highlight. Ball
there's the one with Alicia Keys. Should Jay-Z get in, Russ?
No, first year, no. Just like the Baseball Hall of Fame. Can't make it first year.
Okay, not a full first ballot Hall of Famer. Okay.
No.
Kate Bush?
I had no idea.
Nominated, yes. No.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so the only one we all say should get in is Carole King so far. Mary J. Blige? Is there room for her?
She's fair on the list. Yeah, I definitely would have her on the list. I don't think she's been on long enough to get in.
But not a Hall of Famer. Okay.
Pretty talented.
I couldn't name one song by the New York Dolls, so they do not belong in.
Oh, and I was trying to find songs from them, and they were not fun to listen to.
Really? Okay. Here's a controversial one. Here's a tough one. Does this band deserve to be in the Rock Hall? The Go-Go's. Russ
yes.
Simber. Are they Rock Hall of
yes.
Famer?
Yes. Broke the barrier.
In the hall.
Yes, they belong. All female Nicole? Group. Absolutely. They defined
yeah,
an era.
Go-Go's then. Yeah, for sure.
Here's the thing. Even though they had really one album that was huge and then a couple of others that were okay, because they're an all-girl group and they wrote all their own music, and I'm planning, I don't remember if it's Netflix or Amazon Prime, but there's a Go-Go's documentary that I've heard is fantastic, and it just shows how they overcame all these stereotypes, because most girl bands back then did not write their own music. So, okay, we agree on that one. Look, we're all
yeah.
unanimous. We're going to agree on this one. I know that.
Favorite song of all time. Maybe
this is your favorite song, Nicole?
Top two or three, yeah, for sure.
Really?
You didn't get to the...
What?
Turn it up.
Turn it up, Sean.
Gives me chills every single time.
Okay. Russ, Tina Turner?
Yeah, Tina Turner, just longevity and the amount of work. Yeah. Great resume.
Okay, I agree. Okay. So right now we got Tina Turner. We'll probably agree on this one too, I'm guessing.
Keep smiling.
I hate this song. Let me play a different Dionne Warwick song. I like this. Burt Bacharach song. Dionne Warwick? I can't believe she's not in already.
I was kind of surprised, too. I think she definitely deserves it.
I love her music. I don't think she belongs in the Hall of Fame for rock and roll, but I definitely think on the list, and I love her music. But she should know she's not going to make it. I mean, all the years with the Psychic Network, she should have a pretty good feeling.
If that's, you know, it's not like she gambled on the sport like Pete Rose for crying out loud. Okay, here's the last one. I consider this one to be the toughest of them all. Russ Todd Rundgren. Is he a Rock Hall of Famer?
I'm going to get him in. I'm going to get him in. I don't know why. He's one of those that everybody goes, yeah, I kind of like him, and he's good. But I'll get him in. I'll say yes.
See, I want to say yes, but I don't think he has enough hit songs to deserve getting in. But the three or four that he has still get played all the time today. They are great. I never want to turn a Todd Rundgren song off. And if you have,
I know, I Saw the Light.
Yeah, I Saw the Light's a great song. So if you have four or five songs that have lasted for 40 years and are still fun to listen to, I think you're a Hall of Famer. I think that's all it takes for someone like that. There you go.
Nicole?
All right.
I am embarrassed to say I did not know his name, really.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I love his music. But Todd Rundgren made a crucial mistake about, 20 years ago. He said, I could write a hit song any day of the week. I could go home today and sit down and write a song that'll be a big, huge hit. But he, for some reason, has only had about four or five hits. So I don't think he's proven his own bluster. Okay, so we would put Tina Turner, Todd Rundgren, the Go-Go's, and Chaka Khan? No, Carol King.
Carol King.
Those would be the four out of 18 or 16 that we'd put in. Okay, we all in agreement on that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Nicole, will you shoot a message to the Rock Hall? Because I think we should all have voting rights starting this year.
Good plan.
We do this every year. Okay. All right. Russ, good talk with you. Appreciate your expertise.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me. Bye, Nicole.
Bye, Russ. Good to talk to you.
Bye, Dory. Great talking
to you.
See you,
bud. My good friend,
Russ. By the way, we never got to LL Cool J. I'm cool with him.
LL Cool, it's not on my list. You didn't include him. Oh, you know who else we didn't get to? Foo Fighters are eligible for the first time, and they absolutely should be in. But you didn't. Yep. You didn't give me a Foo Fighter. Oh, there's a Foo Fighters song. You loaded my favorite one too. Foo Fighters absolutely should get in.
I think this was Sean's favorite, right, Sean?
Correct. Yeah, it's a great one.
Have you heard the acoustic version of this?
Oh, yeah. It's just as good. It's so wonderful.
Dave Grohl
wonderful.
Does.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's the best. Okay. Foo Fighters also should get in to the Rock Hall. Okay, that's our take on the nominees out today. We got a lot of other news that we have to get to now. It's the Dory Monson Show. Rolls on. Coming up at 2:30 this afternoon, we're going to carry the first part of a Jay Inslee press conference because we're told to expect rather significant news on the slow reopening of the state. So we'll find out the very latest. Maybe there's going to be some movement in getting the state reopened economically. But we'll bring you the very beginning of Jay Inslee's press conference at 2:30 this afternoon. So you will be the first to hear what's going on with trying to get our state back economically. Also, right after the top of the hour news, in just a few minutes, Chris Sullivan, our transportation specialist, he is going to join me because there's been so much talk about this bill in Olympia to turn every road into a toll road. It's called a per-mile charge. You'd have to have a transponder in your vehicle, or you'd have to take your car in for an odometer check probably every quarter, which sounds like a nightmare to do. And I don't know how they're going to pull this off. But the state wants to get away from the gas tax. Meanwhile, there's another bill to jack the gas tax as high as possible in the same Olympia legislative session. While they are talking about the pay per mile, and Rima Griffith from the Transportation Commission, she says, it's just fair.
So we see a big swing in terms of equity and how much each driver is paying for the roads today.
It's about equity. Everything's about equity. We're just going to raise taxes, and that'll provide equity. That's what's so bizarre about everybody in politics. They just want to raise taxes, and then they just grab a word from their woke boggle game, and it's equity. And we want to raise taxes for equity. And then they shake the dice again, and you know tomorrow will be, yeah, we're going to raise everybody's taxes for justice. And they got all kinds of reasons to raise taxes. I am getting all kinds. Oh, here's why she says they need to charge us per mile driven.
Road charging allows us to depart from this historic paradigm and allow us to really recognize that policy objectives and our funding objectives can be achieved without giving up on the ability to generate the funds necessary to fund our transportation infrastructure.
Okay, I have no idea what any of that means, even. Okay, I'm getting lots of emails from you about that. Rob in Kirkland. Dory, though hardly unique, my wife and I are giving up and moving out of the area. We came here 7 years ago with such exuberance and hope for a new life adventure. Once we found ourselves as empty nesters, we loved the coast, the lakes, snowshoeing, and all the incredible beauty this area has to offer. The sobering reality, however, is that those things can no longer mitigate the scary and completely irresponsible policies of the people in charge around here. So, Rob, I'm sorry to lose you. I understand a lot of people are feeling that way right now. Okay, we'll check the news for you. And then Chris Sullivan joins me about pay per mile. That and lots more in the Big Lead next.